It is the real form of the heat and light. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Mayatatam idam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtina. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. Thus, the impersonal conception of the Lord is like the expansion of heat and light from a fire. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord also says, Matstani sarva bhutani nachesham teshv avastitaha. The entire material creation is resting on Krishna's energy, either material, spiritual, or marginal. But because his form is absent from the expansion of his energy, he is not personally present. This inconceivable expansion of the Lord's, Supreme Lord's energy is called Achintya Shakti. Therefore, no one can understand the real form of the Lord without becoming his devotee. One more time, I will read the translation. My dear Lord, this visible cosmic manifestation is a demonstration of your own creative energy, since the countless varieties of forms within this cosmic manifestation are simply a display of your external energy. This Virata Rupa, universal body, is not your real form. Except for a devotee in transcendental consciousness, no one can perceive your actual form. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So these chapters, the residents of Jambudvipa offer prayers. Where is Jambudvipa? Jambudvipa is in the middle of Bhumandala. And what Bhumandala is? Bhumandala is planetary system, and it looks like a lotus flower. And Jambudvipa looks like a leaf of this lotus flower. And Jambudvipa is divided in 9 varshas, 9 different lands. And now we are on Hiranmaya Varsha. And there, Lord assumed the form of the tortoise, of the Kurma Rupa. So what we know about Kurma? Lord Kurma took the shape of a tortoise because there was big mission going on in the universe. The demigods and the demons, they were churning the ocean of the milk. They wanted to produce nectar of immortality. But it was a very big task, and they need something very huge to rotate. So they used a mountain Mandara. But this mountain needed a support. So Lord took a shape of tortoise to help on his back this huge mountain. In one sense, one could think that it would be like some inconvenience for God to have such a huge mountain on his back. But actually, Lord that time was feeling some itching sensation. So the scratching caused by the rotating of Mandara mountain give Lord pleasure. Some pleasant sensation. end, the scratching was going on, and Lord becomes sleepy. He fell asleep. And when he was breathing in and out in the ocean, he made a wind going out through his nostril, and it produced the waves. So, ever since till present day, the ocean imitates Lord breathing out and in by making and waves. So now, who is worship Lord Kurma on this Hiranmaya Varsha? Ariyama. So who is Ariyama? Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, of the departure ancestors, I am Ariyama. So Ariyama is a demigod in charge of Pitraloka, the planet where the qualified ancestors reside. And why actually Ariyama chose to worship Lord Kurma, or rather maybe we can say why Lord Kurma chose Ariyama to worship him? Because when people offer Shraddha, the oblation for their forefathers, ultimately the oblation going on to Ariyama, and Ariyama offers prayer to Lord Kurma, because Lord Kurma, it's written in Shastra, can protect us from falling into unlimited hellish planet. So that's why it's the connection between Kurma and Ariyama. Ariyama is one of the 12 Adityas, the sons of Aditi and Kashyapa Muni. He's very qualified. That's why when Yamaraj incarnates as Vidura, he got his post. Ariyama had also many qualified sons. And among them, Lord Brahma created the human species. Srila Prabhupada, in the introduction to this chapter, reminds us again that because of association with devotees, we can understand Vedas, and we can understand this purport, this chapter as well. Why it's so important, this association of devotees? Because in devotees, in their heart, reside all good sentiments as well as all good qualities of demigods. And on the contrary, in the heart of non-devotees, there cannot be any good qualities, because they are simply enchanted by the illusory energy of the Lord. So let's be grateful today, because we live on the bank of the Ganges, and we live in the association of devotees. So we are very fortunate, very lucky. In the beginning of this purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, Mayavadi philosophers think the universal form of the Lord to be real and his personal form illusory. Mayavadi claim themselves that they are Vedantists, but actually they don't understand the Vedanta philosophy at all, because Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, Sarvasya chaham hridisa nivisto mata smritir jnanam apohanamscha vedeshcha sarve yahameva vedyo vedanta krit veda videva chaham. I am seated in everyone's heart. From me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. So, form of Krishna is factual, because when Krishna says, aham, means I, indicates the person. And then Krishna says Eva, and Eva indicates that conclusive verification. So I am a person. But Mayavadi, they deny form of Lord. They claim that there is no form of God. They want to be better than God in one sense, because they have form, but they claim that God cannot have any form. They limit Krishna. And they want to cut this form to pieces. No legs, not form, just something. And original Mayavadi, Sankaracharya, he even admits that Lord, Supreme Lord, has form, but this is transcendental form. Narayana para vyakta. So that form of Narayan is transcendental to this manifestation of material world. Avyakta anta sambhava. So there is unmanifested energy of the Lord, and Lord himself as a transcendental reality. And same statement we have here in our verse. Nija maya yarpitam artha svarupam. This entire cosmic manifestation is manifested by Lord's creative energy, but he cannot be seen by avyapadesha, avyapadesha by this mental material speculation. So we can conclude that only devotees can see the Lord, because only by devotional service we can understand actually Krishna, who he is. Mayavadi, they are impersonal philosophers. They describe the form of Lord as Maya, and also they describe the pastimes, activities of the Lord as Maya, because they cannot understand that there is spiritual world. They cannot understand the spiritual form and its varieties, like Krishna's form, name, qualities, and pastimes. That's why they have this imagination that everything is Maya. And to avoid this misconception, one has to directly, by devotional service, by rendering devotional service, to cultivate knowledge about the absolute truth. Otherwise, we can be like deviated from the path of personalism. So that's why the rendering devotional service is very, very helpful. And actually, this is only way. Mayavadi, also impersonalists, they don't understand that living entity is equal in the quality of with the Supreme Lord. And because of this misunderstanding, then they think that living entity was divided from the Brahman and become conditioned due to Maya. They don't know that Krishna has no separate body from his from himself, that his body, his name are all absolute truth. And everything about Krishna is transcendental and blissful. What is stated in Brahma Samhita, first verse, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. So Krishna, known as Govinda, is the Supreme Person, and he has an eternal, blissful, and transcendental spiritual body. He is origin of all. He has no other origin, and he is the cause of all causes. So also for a conditioned soul, there is a difference between the body and the soul, between the name of the jiva and the soul of the jiva. That's why by this false identification with material objects, we cannot understand actually who we are. We are misguided. We are forgetful. We forget that we are Jivara Svarupahaya Krishnara Nityadasa, that our eternal spiritual position is to be an eternal servant of Krishna. And because of this forgetfulness, we are here in this material world. But it doesn't mean that this forgetfulness makes us happy. It doesn't change the fact that we are suffering in this material world. What is confirmed is in Bhagavad Gita, Mameivam sho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manashastani indriyani prakritistani kashati. Although the living entity is a part and parcel of the Lord, and that's why he is transcendental, he's still suffering in this material world and struggling for existence due to mind and the senses. So now we came to the point of real mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is very compassionate to all living entities. He is para dukha dukhi. He suffers where other suffers. So he wants to remind us, everyone, that we are part and parcel of Krishna. And third goal of ISKCON states that third goal is to bring us to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to develop the idea in everyone that everyone, every soul is part and parcel of Lord Krishna. Before I joined ISKCON, I was searching for some absolute truth. I didn't know exactly what I'm going to look for, but I wanted something more in my life. So I became vegetarian because I was thinking that this is ethical, and I was reading many books on philosophy, and I went to many different spiritual organizations, many kind of Buddhist yoga clubs, but somehow it didn't make me satisfied. I was not satisfied. I wanted something else. But in the end, I became more or less impersonalist myself. But then I met devotees of Krishna, and I got Prabhupada's book, and they start to open my eyes. And it is said in Shastra that when even impersonalists, if they are not offender to the lotus feet of the Krishna, they can get a chance to become a devotees by chance, if they get a chance to meet devotees of Lord Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada came to West in his 70s to give us association of pure devotees, to give us transcendental knowledge and to display our doubt and to show us where we are from, why we are here, and we are supposed to go. And second part of the Pranama Mantra to Srila Prabhupada is Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyadesha Tarine. So our respectful obeisances unto you, O spiritual master, servant of Sarasvati Goswami, you are kindly preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya Dev and delivering Western countries which are filled with impersonalism and voidism. Srila Prabhupada said that he didn't expect that this Hare Krishna movement actually will spread in the West, because it was started with small income, like it was 40 rupees, but now it's spreading so much in the Western countries. Why? Because people in the West were not offenders. And Prabhupada said that people who joined ISKCON, they were not so much advanced as far as purity is concerned. They were not so much advanced in the and acknowledged with the Vedic knowledge, but they were not offenders. So that's why they came to Krishna consciousness. They could understand the importance of Krishna's message. And Prabhupada there said that he is very happy now that this Hare Krishna movement is spreading all over the world, especially in these Western countries. And therefore, he can conclude that the so-called mlechas and yavanas from the West, they are better and more purified than impersonal Mayavadis and impersonal atheists. In this verse, Aryama says, except for a devotee in transcendental consciousness, no one can perceive your actual form. And same, Prabhupada said in the last sentence of his purport, therefore, no one can understand the real form of the Lord without becoming his devotees. So we can see that the essence of this verse is to improve our devotion. So one day we can become devotee in this transcendental consciousness. And then one day maybe we can experience this. Premanjana chiruta bhakti vilochanena santaksa deva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam syama sundaram achintyam gunasvarupam govindam adipurusham tam aham bhajami. Lord Brahma in Brahma Samhita says, I worship Govinda, the Supreme, the Primeval Lord, who is Shyama Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their hearts, with the eye tinged with the self of love. So, only person whose eyes are spread with ointment of love can see beautiful form of Krishna, Krishna Samasundar. And this form is not imagination. Devotee can see this form in the purified hearts. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami wrote in the translation and in the Brahma Samhita that devotees actually can see Krishna in the heart, in the vraja, but the vraja is in the heart of devotees. And they can see Krishna according to its purification, and it depends on the rendering devotional service. So according, the more progress we do, the more we can see Krishna in our vraja, in our heart. And actually, what is this eye of the heart? So this eye is nothing but the spiritual self of the jiva. So when devotee reaches bhava bhakti stage, that eye of pure self is tinged by a love of God, by mercy of Lord. And then devotee can see Krishna face to face. The essence of this verse is also how to increase our devotion. So for me, in one way, is to reading and hearing about Krishna, description about Krishna and pure devotee, so can inspire me. So one day I also will be eager to become that pure devotee. And one of very inspiration texts I found in Madhurya Kadambini by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, with translation of Dinabandhu Prabhu. This is eighth shower of nectar. And it's written here, the revelation, how Krishna reveals to devotee. The Lord first reveals his beauty to the eyes of the utterly astonished devotee. The sweetness of his beauty makes all the senses to become like eyes to see the Lord. The resulting symptoms of ecstatic love, such as tears, shivering, and being stunned, cause the devotee to swoon in ecstasy. To revive him, the Lord next reveals his fragrance to the nostrils of his devotee. And all the devotee's senses and mind take on the quality of the nose to smell. As the devotee starts to swoon a second time, the Lord says, "O my devotee, I am fully under your control. Please don't be disturbed. Just realize me to your full satisfaction." The Lord thus disclose his pleasing voice to the ear of his devotee. And as before, all the senses become like ears to hear. As his devotee swoons a third time, the Lord mercifully gives him the touch of his lotus feet, hands, or chest, revealing his delicate softness, according to the different rasas of the devotees. In those in the mood of servitude, he touches his lotus feet to their heads. To those in the mood of friendship, he grasps their hand with his. For those in the mood of parental affection, he gives the touch of his hand by wiping away their tears. For those in conjugal mood, he awards his tender softness by embracing them to his heart with his long arms. Again, the devotee's senses all take on the sense of touch to feel his softness. At the start of the fourth swoon, the Lord restores him by giving his fifth madhurya, the taste of the nectar of his lips. But this he reveals only to those who at this time are in the mood of conjugal love and desire this, but not to the others. The devotee's senses all take on the sense of taste, and he faints for a fifth time. This blissful swoon is so deep, the Lord can revive him only by bestowing his sixth quality, generosity. Generosity refers to the state where all the Lord's qualities, beauty, fragrance, sound, touch, and taste forcefully manifest at once to his devotee's various senses. Thank you. And I was also asked to say some pastimes of Lord Jagannath, because 2 days ago, today, so Sunday, we had Radha Yatra, so some pastimes with Lord Jagannath. So I also will say about Radha Yatra, one which was about 500 years ago. Lord Chaitanya was that time in Jagannath Puri, and he wanted to be a part of this beautiful Radha Yatra festival. So morning time, he went to the temple, Jagannath temple, to see Jagannath, Lord Jagannath, and everything was preparing, and there was beautiful cart, and they were ornamented with beautiful mirrors, some bells, beautiful silk cloths, many chamaras on the top with was big flag, and this chart looked like he was just made out of gold, and he was so huge that in the Shastra is referred to the mountain Sumeru. So everyone was amazed to see beautiful decoration on the charts. Then we know that Lakshmi lives also in Jagannath Puri with Lord Jagannath. So Lord has, as a good husband, he has to take permission from his wife, Lakshmi, to go, because he's going for 2 weeks. So after taking permission from his wife, the carriers of the Lord, they prepare the ropes, they tie his arms, his waist from both sides, and carry him from the throne to the cart. But we know that Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri is very huge, and it's like hardly impossible for humans to carry him. And we know that Lord Jagannath is the maintainer of whole universe, so it's not so easy to take him from one place to another. So what is this? This is his personal will, that he wants to take part in these pastimes. That's why he moved. So when they carried the Lord, the rope broke, and they make big sound. And they were a little scary, but of course, everything is will of Krishna. So Krishna did this work without these ropes. He went to the chart, to the cart. And then Lord Gauranga was in ecstasy. He divided his accompaniments in 7 Sankirtana parties, and they were performing Kirtana so loudly that this Kirtan could be here in 3 universes. And Lord Baladev and Subhadra were so happy, they were smiling all the way. But Lord Jagannath was completely astonished how beautiful Lord Gauranga dance and chants. And Lord Gauranga just raised his arms, and he was shouting, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, and all people around, everyone was shouting, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath. And when Lord Gauranga actually seen Lord Jagannath from not so far, he was completely astonished how beautiful Lord is. His beautiful eyes, beautiful posture, new beautiful clothes and garland and ornaments, and he was shining, he was glittering because the sunshine was at his face. So he was glittering that time. So Lord Gauranga that time became so mad that all this transcendental ecstasy revealed in his body. And that time, Lord Jagannath and Lord Baladev, they start slowly moving and dancing with Lord Gauranga. So everyone was dancing, everyone was singing. And that time, the love of God spread all over that place. All residents of Nilachala, all people who came for this Radha Yatra, everyone got Krishna Prema. Haribo. Thank you. Some question or comment? Yes? One more time, could you please repeat? I cannot hear because...
Where was the description you read about Krishna appearing in the body?
It was from Madhurya Kadambini by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Translation by Dina Bandhu.
The question was, where was the description of a devotee meeting Krishna from? And she answered it, it's from Madhurya Kadambini by Dina Bandhu's translation of it. That was a very nice class. You're speaking about the impersonal nature. This is a big stumbling block for me. I didn't understand when I first became a devotee. We were having classes every day. We had bhakti program, and I was, you know, wondering, what is this impersonalism? What is Prabhupada talking about? You know, he's always talking about this impersonalism, and I couldn't actually understand. I was so covered. I couldn't understand the idea that God is considered not to be a person by the majority of the religious organizations in the world. They have different degrees of impersonalism, but for the most part, they cannot imagine the form of God. They cannot imagine the form of Krishna. And if you say, this is God, you say, oh no, God can't be like that. So immediately they try to control God, and try to imagine or insist or condemn the idea that God is a person. Become very very upset about this. I've experienced in preaching, they become very upset. Oh no, God can't do this. But then immediately we see the fallacy of that, that some little individual, some small infinite little jiva soul is determining what is God, what is not God.
So, exactly. Thank you.
That point of impersonalism cannot be stressed enough. And then also the point of voidism that Prabhupada was always kicking on the scientists. And they're saying everything is coming from a void. And so in a void there is nothing. So how can anything happen there? Yeah. There's no will, there's no desire, there's no... They say they have the black holes. They say they have singularity point, the scientists. So the singularity point, they have explanations. Well, it's coming from light waves. So if there's light waves, how is there a void? How is it possible that there's a void? Anyway, very important point.
Srimad Gandharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.